If you haven't picked up on it already, startup life is not for the faint of heart. Starting, managing, and growing a small business is a feat that few can check off their bucket list. And as multi-time entrepreneur Sean Chow will explain, it's easy to tell the story of your company after it has success. The arc is clear, the hero's journey is obvious. But it's when you are stuck in the trenches, riding the ups and downs with your team, that you're haunted by the big question of what's next.
We were constantly being forced to innovate along multiple dimensions. And in retrospect, that we were innovating. But at the time, it felt a whole lot like we were just making stuff up as we went along, which is, of course, what we were doing.
Today, Sean is the CEO and co-founder of Catalytic, a company transforming how people work. But before he was helping other business leaders fine-tune their operations, communications, and accountability systems, he spent 2 decades identifying what works for him and his teams. And as Sean shares today, it's investing in the creation of that well-oiled business machine that makes it easier to not only enjoy the good times, but to survive the more innovative ones as well. There are always exciting things happening in the world of small business. The news that grabs the headlines, though, are always the highlights, the overnight successes, the billion-dollar IPOs, the massive exits. But just like your Instagram feed, that's never the whole story. Let's look deeper than the headlines and the press photos. Underneath all of that is the real work building something valuable and lasting. Don't get me wrong, I love crazy success stories and can be drawn into those big flashy tales just as much as the next person. But we all know that what's more important than the destination is how you get there. It's the struggles you have to overcome and the insights you learn along the way that make you who you are. So those are the stories we're telling. It's raw, it's honest, and maybe it's exactly what you need to hear. I'm Hillary Georgie. And this is The Journey. Sean's parents were immigrants from Taiwan. And as he grew up, Sean recognized the amazing sacrifices they made for him so that he could have the best life possible. He wanted to make the most of it, to build something, to carve out his own path in this world like his parents had done before him. He had the passion and the drive to do great things. There was just one problem. He had no idea how or where to direct that energy.
When I was a kid, I think I was one of those slightly driftless people who did not know exactly what I wanted to be. But I think the common thread that has persisted is that I have always really valued the idea of being open to ideas, open to adventure. And in many ways, I think my life is kind of full of that adventure.
Sean tossed idea after idea around, trying to decide what or who he wanted to be. It wasn't until he found himself in college, deep in pre-med studies, that it became clear what he was truly passionate about.
I was, again, in that kind of, you know, slightly driftless type of state where I was going down this road where I thought I would really want to be a PhD, MD researcher and an undergrad. And I had done all these things in preparation of essentially life as a scientist or an academic. And I started to spend a lot of time around this, you know, new thing at the time, the web. And my mentor, who I had met mainly because he said, "Hey, Sean, your roommate, I know, and he told me that you're into this thing called the web. Can you come by here and talk to me about it?" And I talked to him about it. And he's like, "This sounds awesome. I'll hire you as a researcher on the web. And, you know, I'll pay you for this."
Sean began getting paid to research new and interesting applications. His hobby had become his job, and the passion he had for what he was doing was hard to ignore. His mentor pulled him aside.
He said, "Sean, I know you're going down this route here of science and research and being an MD, but I think you have a real passion for technology. And I think it'd be a shame for you to waste that passion. So you need to really double down and dig into this."
And that's exactly what Sean did. Taking the advice of his mentor, Sean directed his passion, energy, and focus into technology, even starting a small consultancy with a friend entirely focused on web technologies.
From there, I got a job at Anderson doing technology consulting and like very quickly realized, you know what? This consulting thing is really cool because I get to see a lot of different things and I get to learn a lot of different things and so forth, but ultimately not super satisfying for me as someone who really wanted to build something. So I knew I wanted to go into an actual product company, and that opportunity came around in toward the end of 99.
As a consultant, Sean didn't have the opportunity to see projects all the way through. He was a constant outsider to the companies he worked with. He began looking for new opportunities, and that's when he met Jay Schakavit, the founder and CEO of Fieldglass, a vendor management service. Jay was looking for a founding CTO who could help him build out the team and technology of Fieldglass, and Sean fit the bill. It was a unique startup experience in that Jay was an expert in the VMS field already. But even with industry knowledge and a game plan, they still faced many challenges, including large-scale problems that were completely outside of their control.
We were bookended by two horrible recessions. So we started in 2000, which was a horrible time to start a startup. And then we lived through the 2008 recession as we were trying to do a major transaction that ended up falling through. So that was just a horrible macro event that we had no control over. And that's actually an incredibly important lesson for a lot of startups. All the macro events are things that you can't control. So your only ability to think about them is within the realm of things that you can control. Can you control your cash flow so that you can kind of outlive whatever the macro event is? Or what is a macro event? How do you react to it? Because you certainly can't control it and you can't anticipate it.
Rather than dwell on the things that they had no power over, Sean and his team focused on what they could control. They built sustainable systems within the company that kept their teams connected, accountable, and efficient, even in the worst of times.
One of the unique things about a startup that people don't fully appreciate, one of the few places where you start life essentially as a failure. You have no money, you have no product, you have no people, and you're trying to go up against all these people who have much more of all those things, and somehow you have to end up making it successful. And so one of the interesting things as a startup is you're perpetually in failure prevention mode in the early days. For me, I think a lot of the moments of failure revolve around feeling like we're either letting down our customers, letting down our employees, or letting down our investors. Now, the overall arc of a startup is that you are basically constantly struggling and bouncing between these three incredibly important constituents to just keep the ball, you know, rolling on all of them.
Sean knew that he wasn't perfect, that the company didn't operate like an expertly fine-tuned machine, and that he'd never be able to strike that exact right balance between customer, employee, and investor. No company can. But he could be perfectly honest every step of the way.
Key for me is transparency. And a evolution of my career is in the early days, especially as a consultant, you feel like part of your job is to always look like you're prepared, right? But now as an entrepreneur who's gone through multiple entrepreneurial journeys, I feel like the thing that has served me better in almost all these cases is just honesty and transparency and a commitment to actually working through all the issues that pop up. That's an approach I've taken with everyone, investors, with customers. We're not always going to do the right thing. We are going to make mistakes. We can't not make mistakes, but what we can do is always address them. We can always be honest about them, and then we can always make sure that we aren't making the same mistakes over and over.
It's that spirit of honesty that has created amazing relationships between Sean and his coworkers, customers, and business partners. And it would become the foundation for his next company, which was an opportunity he pursued after Fieldglass was acquired by SAP for a modest $1 billion in 2014. After the break, Sean shares what he did after exiting Fieldglass and how he's brought the lessons he's learned from that first company into his new one.
As part of Salesforce's continued commitment to small businesses, they've recently announced Salesforce Care for Small Business, a combination of free products to help during the COVID-19 crisis. New customers will get 3 months free access to out-of-the-box CRM Salesforce Essentials and Analytics Solution Tableau, as well as 6 months free access to collaboration tool Quip. Now, more than ever, small businesses need the right tools to connect with their customers. Salesforce is here to help. To learn more, visit salesforce.com/thejourney.
After a whirlwind 14 years, Sean exited Fieldglass exhausted and ready for a break.
I specifically and intentionally put a break point in where I said, I'm just actually not going to do anything for a significant period of time. And I bought a motorhome and I bought a Jeep, and my family and I went out on the road for like 3 or 4 months. We were just out exploring America and enjoying having a completely unstructured life.
He spent months considering what his next step should be. He didn't want to join a large, established company, but he also didn't want to go through the ups and downs of building a startup again. Or did he?
I love the idea of creating something from scratch. And I love the idea of new technology. And I love really gnarly business problems. And taking someone else's technology required a level of commitment to kind of their vision. And then just growing that did not appeal to me, right? What appeals to me is really being able to come together with a team of people that I feel really good about, and being able to create brand new technology unencumbered by existing stuff. I think that line of thinking is ultimately what made me say I do have to do a startup again.
Equipped with the knowledge he had acquired at Fieldglass and with a rested mind and body, Sean was ready to embrace startup life one more time.
I'm just also personally kind of a productivity geek. So I love metrics around everything. I love trying to quantify everything. And when I thought about the different types of problems that really spoke to me, the question that Catalytic started with is, why are people so inefficient in their processes? Why are people so bad at operations when we could be so much better? It seemed ludicrous to me that we still were at this place where we weren't embedding more technology into our day-to-day processes.
Catalytic helps business leaders build automated workflows that combine people, data, and systems to create a much leaner, stronger, and higher functioning organization. But what really makes Catalytic stand out isn't just the workflows they help develop for other companies. It's the cultural and organizational processes that they rely on internally.
With Catalytic, I've set it up from the very beginning to try to make information as widely distributed and as open and transparent as possible. So we share everything, including things like our board information, our financials, what our real goals are relative to our investors, so that there's essentially no veil between what we tell our employees to what we tell our investors, and even what we're sharing with customers. It's all out there and it's all in the open.
And with that level of transparency comes an equal level of honesty, even about the things that are hard to discuss.
I actually actively seek out as much critical input as possible. I'm very much looking for people who are willing to say, no, Sean, I think you're doing it wrong this way because, and then we have a good logical conversation about that. People should feel very comfortable telling me if they think I'm doing something wrong or if I'm going in the wrong direction. I get much more critical information much faster.
But a side effect of open lines of communication is that you can quickly get distracted by the little things that don't matter as much or that are outside of your control.
There's probably never a thing that you should be hyper-focused on. And I think as entrepreneurs, you tend to get hyper-focused on whatever the thing is right in front of you, to the point where you actually start forgetting about all the other things. Remember, you're balancing everything over a marathon, right? It's not a single event that will kill you. It's the balance of things over a very long period of time that will kill you.
Efficiency, transparency, intentional focus, and long-term thinking. These are the pillars that Sean uses to create highly effective cultural and operational systems within Catalytic and are the basis of his vision for the company.
Your company is not just your product, or it's not just selling. It's ultimately about a fine-tuned machine. And as your company grows, there's different parts of this machine that you have to pay attention to. But the end result is clear. It all has to work cohesively and together. And it doesn't make sense to have an amazing selling machine only to have a horrible delivery mechanism. So part of your challenge as an early entrepreneur is knowing where you're weak in all these different areas. So there's a very specific sequence in which you have to build these things. It differs for every company, but you have to keep in mind that ultimately it's a machine. Your job is to make sure eventually this machine will run on its own.
Sean was forced to face two massive external events head on during his time at Fieldglass. And he overcame countless internal struggles building both Fieldglass and Catalytic. From product market fit, to hiring, to sales, to product development, to massive economic events outside of his control. All of these things can be solved and survived if you have a resilient system in place working in unison.
It's that force multiplier effect. As an individual, I can only do so much, but if I can actually get other people to help with that, pushing the rock up, we can push up a much bigger rock, up a much bigger hill.
Whether it's confronting a large-scale crisis or figuring out which logo to use on your company's website, building a company that can survive the bad times and thrive in the good times starts with your systems and your team. In the words of Billy Beane, the Oakland Athletics executive vice president, quote, "Every business is a living document, an algorithm that needs to be improved. Just as you grow and change throughout your life, so too does your business. Sean grew into the man he is today and changed his path a few times until eventually he created a life that he is proud of. He created his own algorithm for the American dream, but the algorithm keeps changing and can always be improved. That's true in business as well. All you have to do is look at every business decision you are faced with as an opportunity to improve your algorithm and build something you're proud of. And eventually, success will move from being a dream to becoming a reality."
Today's uncertain business climate makes it critical to stay in touch with your customers and employees. That's why Salesforce recently announced Salesforce Care for Small Business, a combination of free products to help businesses during the COVID-19 crisis. New customers will get 3 months free access to out-of-the-box CRM Salesforce Essentials and Analytics Solution Tableau, as well as 6 months free access to collaboration tool Quip. Salesforce is here to help you stay connected. To learn more, visit salesforce.com/thejourney.